we coincidentally had this gospel, the same gospel in a shorter form, this past week at one of our school masses. And I asked the students essentially the same question that the apostles were asking Jesus, to show them the Father, or how do we get to heaven to be with the Father, is essentially what they're asking. And the students had a lot of interesting responses. When I asked them, what do you have to do to get to heaven? One said, be a good person. True. One said, follow the commandments. True. One said, you have to be uber Catholic, which means super Catholic. Well, that helps too. And there are many other answers, but one answer that I didn't hear from anyone was knowing Jesus. All of these things are true, and we do need those things to get to heaven. But isn't it interesting what Jesus says you have to do to get to heaven? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the way to heaven. And notice that he says, it's not 10 commandments, although those will help you get to heaven. And if you spend your life disobeying them and are unrepentant, you won't go to heaven. Notice that he doesn't say that being a good person is the way to heaven, although that is true. Even, it doesn't even say being a good Catholic, even though that's the fullness of the faith in Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. He says, I am the way, a person. And where there's a person there and another person, you have a personal relationship. Meaning that each one of us here who believes in Jesus Christ, we must have a relationship with him if we want to get to heaven. He has to be our way. You see, it's not just an encounter with a religion, but with a person. Religion is often very comfortable. We find something that matches our beliefs. It doesn't upset us too much. It doesn't displace us too much. It doesn't challenge us too much. And here in the United States, it's very convenient to go church shopping because there's a church out there for every belief. There's a video a couple years ago that became very popular by a poet and rapper named Jefferson Bethke. Many of you may have seen it. It was entitled, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. The reason this was so popular because, number one, the hypocrisy of many Christians, but also because so many people claim to be religious but really don't know Jesus. Now, number one, we're all hypocrites. I'm the biggest of them all because I have to stand up here every weekend. We all try and fail. That's the nature of being a Christian. But we don't have to be stuck in just being religious. You see, to enter into this deeper level of not just being religious, but having a relationship with Jesus, he's the one who becomes your only truth. He's the one who defines your life. So what is truth? That question should sound familiar. Do you remember as Jesus was being condemned to die, he was standing before Pontius Pilate? And he asked him the question. He said, is it true that you are the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, you say so. Pilate responds, what is truth? This is a common question even in our time. I remember teaching a confirmation class. I was in Northern Virginia at the time. It was when I was still in seminary and living out on the East Coast. And I remember one of the female students, we gave them an opportunity to ask questions. And she said, well, Mr. Marnie, as it was back then, why couldn't it be that, like, God's this truth out there and then all these religions are just ways of getting to God? Or why isn't it that, you know, something could be true for me but different for you? I mean, isn't that true? And this is a common error, that we think that truth is what we want it to be, or what we think it is. And that we tend to take our experience, which is very real to us, but real doesn't always equate to true. And we project it up on God, instead of taking the revelation of God down to us. Now, which one of those two things makes more sense? Does it make more sense that we, from our experience in life, and what we feel and what is real to us, decide who God is? Or that God decides to tell his creation about himself? You see, truth is not something we make up or determine or is subjective, but something that is objective and revealed. And the error of defining our lives by our subjective experience is what leads many away from the path. Jesus finally says that he is the life. It's kind of a curious statement, isn't it? It's interesting that in the Eucharist, which we receive as Catholics, he really is our life, the bread of life. Some of you have heard stories before about saints who have lived purely on the Eucharist. They didn't eat anything else except receiving the Eucharist at Mass each day. For years they would live that way. Literally, Jesus was their life. When you come to Holy Mass, hopefully that is your disposition too, that you are saying to Jesus, I want you to be my very life, the very thing that defines me and animates me. You see, our faith is not just a religion, but a way of living. There's our way of living and his way of living. And you might ask yourself, well, Father, why can't you have both? And in a sense, you can. God's plans are not totally void from our plans when our plans are inspired by God. The feelings we have, the passions we have, are not totally void of God when they're pursued in reference to him. But the difference between us and God is we're fallen. We're concupiscent. We have the temptation of sin. God doesn't. So which would you rather follow? Your plans or his? Because his are perfect. His will make you happy. His will get you to heaven. You know, it's graduation time. In fact, I have a feeling that's why so few people are at Mass tonight. This is like graduation party night. Get really fat this time of year. And one of our seniors I was visiting with recently told me, I asked him, how does it feel to come to your senior year and being graduating? Because I know, personally, I was just scared. Because all of a sudden, you've been going to Catholic school since you were itty-bitty, and then you get to 12th grade, and you're like, unless mom and dad drop me off at a Catholic school, I just won't know what to do with myself. And I asked this young man how he felt, and he said that he was overwhelmed thinking about life, who to marry and what to be in life, what to study in college. He was overwhelmed. But isn't it a great comfort for us as Catholic Christians to know that we don't have to rely on just our plans? We get to rely on a God who says he is the way and that he will show us the way. The God who has plans for us, and good ones at that. The difficulty many of us run into as we start telling God what our plans are. There's a joke that many of you have shared with me. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Are you telling God your plans, or are you listening to his? You see, our life is not just lived for ourselves, but for others. And I wonder, I was thinking earlier today, if people were looking at Father Matt from the outside, they didn't really know me, they just knew my behaviors and what I talked about and things like that. Maybe they saw my Facebook page or heard my voicemail. What would they think of Father Matt? I was driving the other day and somebody was going extremely slow in front of me. It was probably one of you. And I had this, you know, urge to just gas it and go around them, right? And then I remembered there's a sticker on the back of my car that says, "Pray for priests." Shouldn't have been the only thing holding me back, but it probably was. When people look at our lives from the outside, what do they think of? When people think of you, what would they say is the most important thing to you? I was talking to one of my brother priests the other night, and all he's been going off on for the last 2 weeks is about his car. Now, I don't judge him. I know he's more than that. But if that's all I knew of him, what would I think? What would people say your biggest priority is if they were looking at you from the outside? Your car, your shoes, your game, or your Lord? Now you might say, "Wait, Father, that's being judgmental, and I don't do that." No, it's not being judgmental. It's called preaching. And each one of us have the responsibility to do it. When you were baptized into Christ's prophecy. Meaning we have a responsibility to live our lives in such a way that it preaches Jesus Christ to the world. In response to this rapper's video where he says, "I hate religion but love Jesus," there was a Catholic priest who put out a rap kind of back to him. I've posted them both on our website for you to look at. It's called "Why I Love Religion and Love Jesus." And he says this, "And that Jesus said it was done is absolutely true, but he also gave us a mission with many things to do." You're part of his mission. You're part of the way, the truth, and the life. We had the opportunity last fall to take our middle school down to Southeast Kansas, where the Catholic Church was given birth in this area of the United States. It's really interesting history to read. I mean, priests literally riding out on horseback from house to house, baptizing and giving the sacraments, and you would go for months, if not years, without Holy Communion or confession. We're so blessed today. So are the priests, mind you. But we were looking at this beautiful big church, and there in the corner they showed us the cornerstone, this giant slab of stone that the rest of the church was built on. Jesus refers to himself in the second reading as the cornerstone. And the importance of the cornerstone is if you don't lay that first stone straight and level, the rest of your building's off. If you don't lay that first stone straight and level, the rest of your building's going to be off. If we don't have Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, the defining point of our lives, the rest of it's going to be off. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, but the more important question is he your way, your truth? Does he define your life? Is he the person with which you have a deeply personal relationship, not just a religion that you blindly follow? Is he not just one truth among many, but the truth? And so firmly do you believe that, that you would tell the world about it? Is he what defines your life in such a way that when others look at your life, when others see the car you drive and the house you live in and the way you act, they say that person is a follower of Jesus Christ? Is he your way, your truth, and your life?